Vader.
Lieve Jezus, Heer, ik wil u danken dat we in dit nieuwe jaar, Heer, dat we weer opnieuw bij u mogen komen. Ja, lieve trouwe Vader, zo willen we elke keer opnieuw bij u komen. Om elke keer opnieuw uw naam te verhogen. Heer, u bent het waard en u bent ook de enige die de kracht en de macht heeft om echt situaties te veranderen. Vader, we bidden u, alle dingen die we hebben gelezen, Heer, kom met uw genezing. Kom met uw verandering, kom met uw inzicht. Vader, u bent een goede Vader en ik geloof dat u tegelijkertijd ook rechtvaardig bent. En dat we het misschien soms niet zien dat er iets verandert en dan bid ik u dat we het besef mogen hebben dat als we niet zien dat er iets verandert, dat u er toch altijd bent. Vader, dat u in een situatie bent om te ondersteunen, om te troosten, om daar te zijn als Vader, om daar te zijn als Almachtige God. Heer, dat bidden we u zo in Jezus' naam. Amen.
U bent meer dan mijn lasten, meer dan mijn pijn, meer dan mijn bezorgdheid, u bent meer dan mijn strijd. Meer dan het leven en de zorgen van nu. Dwars door mijn twijfels vertrouw ik op u. U bent meer dan mijn lasten, meer dan mijn pijn, meer dan mijn bezorgdheid. U bent meer dan mijn strijd. Meer dan het leven en de zorgen van nu. Dwars door mijn twijfels vertrouw ik op u.
Yes, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Yes, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you that we can worship you here in freedom. We thank you that we can be here to honor your name, to lift up your name. And above every problem around us, every problem in our own lives, every problem that we see in the world around us, we can lift up your name. Only your name is powerful. Only your name is mighty. You are the Almighty God. And we just declare that your name, we declare your name over every situation that might hinder us today. And we ask you, Lord, as we listen to the word this morning, this afternoon, we ask that you would work in our hearts. We pray you would open our ears to hear what you are saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Good morning. I hope you don't mind. I'm going to speak in English today. My name is Angela. I'm married to Milan. If you want to say hi, sitting here in the front row. And I'm so excited to open this year with you today. We've had a wonderful few weeks here at Stadskerk. We've had a lot of awesome holiday experiences together, as well as individually with families. And God has done so much in the last year. Last week, we had the opportunity to hear some testimonies from people in our church about what God's done in their lives. And God is working in each of our lives in a different way. In the past year, we've seen people get saved. We've seen people get healed. We've seen people get baptized. And God is turning people's lives around. And God has brought so many people into our family here at Stadskerk as well. We started this location about a year ago, and obviously we're all here now, so God's doing a good thing in this place, and it's been wonderful to see how God is working in some of your lives. I've been able to speak to some people about what God's doing and hear their stories. There's something about a new year that makes us reflect on what we've experienced in the past year. Maybe you have, like I've been thinking about what has happened this past year. Some of the things that you've done, some things that have happened to you, and maybe you're thinking about it right now as we start a new year. What will this year hold? I don't know what you've experienced. I know lots of people have really good stories about this past year. But ironically, as I was thinking about it on New Year's Eve, I was talking to some people about this current season, and I realized it's been the most difficult year I've ever had. I've been through a situation at work that turned my whole life upside down, and I never expected it to affect me the way it has. I'm still blessed. God is still good. But this year has been hard. I don't know about you. Maybe you've had one of those years, or maybe you can think back to a year like, yeah, that was the year from hell. So I don't know what your life has looked like this past year. Some people may have experienced that. Maybe your life started out looking like it had so much potential. And there were times where you thought, I'm a rising star. But then something happened, or you did something, and it seemed like it ended it all. Maybe a mistake so big, it seemed like you could never recover. A season so bad, it seemed like you could not go on. Before Christmas, we started a series on the life of Moses. Moses was born into desperate circumstances as a Hebrew slave in Egypt. And Pharaoh had commanded at the time that Moses was born that the Egyptians would kill all of the baby Hebrew boys because he was afraid that the Hebrew people would become too strong and revolt against their circumstances. However, Moses was delivered. He was delivered from death. And we'll see later in the series that God has a destiny for him to lead the Hebrew people into freedom. From death to destiny. So we've now landed at a point in the story where Moses seems to have a charmed life. He escaped death in the River Nile, only to be rescued by an Egyptian princess. And she adopted him and made him a prince of Egypt. He received the best education available at the time and was raised in a very privileged family. Yet despite all this, he couldn't just accept this identity he had been given. He couldn't look the other way when he saw the suffering of the Hebrew people. So here's what happened. We'll read it together in Exodus 2, verses 11 through 15. One day, after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were, and watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and that, he saw no one. He killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day, he went out and saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, "Why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew?" And the man said, Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed the Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid, and he thought, what I did must have become known. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Wait a minute. I thought Moses was this rising star, having been rescued from death, on the path to his destiny, and I think that's what Moses thought too. But what is going on here? Shouldn't God's path be onward and upward? Shouldn't we be going from glory to glory? And wouldn't we like it if our path to our destiny was a straight line? Wouldn't we like to go from point A to point B? Birth, school, college, career, house, family, fulfilled life, and then on to eternal salvation. But life is often more like a roller coaster, which goes up and down and up and down. And when you're down, it might seem like you will never get up again. Like the plan of life of God for your life is over. You blew it. And I think Moses probably thought he had blown up his road to destiny. And if you believe that people control your road to destiny, you will lose hope before you get there. You see, Moses can no longer depend on people to get him where he's going. He's destroyed his reputation. Moses, despite all he's been given, wasn't just satisfied to live out his days with wealth and a high position. No, he was caught between two worlds, but he didn't fit in either of them. Rescued from genocide, and not just rescued, but instead of certain death, he came to live in a palace. And while I'm sure he was grateful, I believe there was something inside of him that could never forget where he came from. I believe that he could never really fit in with the Egyptians. Something inside him always reminded him that he was different. He was so different that when these cultures clashed with each other, he was suddenly put in a position where he would have to choose. He could choose his adopted identity, that of the Pharaoh's grandchild, an Egyptian, perfectly content to live off the backs of the Hebrew slaves. He could continue to live his life of privilege, the life of the rising star. He probably could have even used his influence for good for the Hebrew people. And I'm sure that he wanted to do good. He wanted to rise up against injustice, and he chose. He chose to stand up for the Hebrew slaves. And it might have been the first time in his life that he finally chose who he was going to be instead of letting others decide for him. But have you ever been conflicted within yourself and suddenly circumstances lined up and you could no longer go on living the way you've been living? You have to make a choice. And this is the position Moses finds himself in. But boy, did he go about it the wrong way. Instead of using his position wisely, he made a foolish choice and cost a man his life. Not only did a man lose his life, but Moses lost his reputation and his influence. What he could have used for good, it now looks like he will never be able to use again. Because if people could have created Moses' destiny, then his road to destiny would have stopped right there. And as people, we are prone to making bad decisions. Moses was not the only one. And what if your heart is in the right place, but you go too far? Maybe it was right for Moses to do something, but killing the Egyptian was probably not the right thing. Yet he may have felt justified. He may have even felt proud that he had done something. He was probably hoping to be accepted by the Hebrews, maybe even honored. Having chosen in his heart to side with the Hebrews, the experience the following day was probably very disappointing. There he goes again, attempting in a small way to bring even more justice to the Hebrew people. And they reject him. They reject his advice. They reject his role as Egyptian prince and Hebrew brother. In fact, they identify him with the biggest moral failure of his life. They can't see past his big mistake. And neither can the Egyptians. In fact, when they find out, they want to kill him. He doesn't fit in anywhere. No matter how far he's come, neither people will welcome him with open arms. He's rejected, forced to flee. He leaves the country all alone in a foreign land, slumps down next to a well. The man with all that potential has essentially ended his life as he knew it. There's nothing left. He's stripped of his title, his position, his adopted family, and any hope he may have had of reconnecting with his birth family. Forced to live in fear, he must have thought, it is all over now. There is no going back. There is nothing left of my life. I am utterly empty. And I went through a similar moment a number of years ago. I'd left the States to come to the Netherlands as a missionary. And like Moses, I wanted to do something good. But I found myself in a place of injustice.
Angela.
Yeah.
My friend is having a panic attack.
Okay. Should we pray for her? Would you like to come forward? I would like to pray for you if you'd like, but if you would prefer to sit there, you can stay sitting there and we'll just pray for you from here if that's okay. And sit there? Okay. Okay. God, right now we just declare peace over this young lady. We pray, Lord God, that you would come and comfort her right now. I declare that all fear must go in the name of Jesus. The Lord God Almighty has power over fear. And right now we cast out fear. And we declare by the authority of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that fear must leave this place. And we declare peace. We declare a cloud of peace to just come upon this young lady. And right now, I declare that your love casts out all fear. As your word says, perfect love casts out all fear. So I just pray, Lord God, that you would give her a glimpse of your perfect love. I pray also that any fear that would have been triggered by things we were talking about today, that it would go and that hope would come as I finish this message today. You are hope. Hope is in you. And I pray that this young lady will get a glimpse of your hope today for her life in Jesus' name. Amen. And whatever you need to do to feel comfortable, if you need to walk out, get a glass of water, whatever you need to do, feel free to do that, okay?
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So, where were we? Moses at the well. My own story. You're right. Thank you. I'd started that talk. Moses at the well. Seems like his life is over. And I had a similar experience, as I was saying. I'd found myself in a place of injustice in my own personal life, and circumstances lined up to where I could no longer go on the way I had been living. And I had to make a choice. And it would have been justified for me to do something, but I went about it the wrong way, just like Moses did. And I went about it so poorly that, just like Moses, I ruined my reputation, I lost my influence, and I even lost the spiritual family that had adopted me here in the Netherlands. And it's one thing not to fit in. It's one thing to leave your culture behind. But it's another thing entirely to be rejected and have to run for your life for something that you did. But Moses was stuck between a rock and a hard place. He had nowhere to go. He couldn't go back to the Hebrews, and he couldn't go back to his life with the Egyptians. Not fitting in. Rejection. A big mistake. Death. Where is that road to destiny? Have you ever hit rock bottom? Have you ever made a mistake so big you could not recover? And as we read this passage, it doesn't even appear like God is in the story. I'm sure it looked to Moses like it was all over for him. But the truth is that God was not finished with him yet. God had a destiny for him that no man, no mistake, no culture could take away from him. And I am sure that Moses struggled with guilt and shame, along with the feeling of being rejected by everyone he knew. He had ruined his own life. There was no one he could blame but himself. But God was not finished with him yet. What is God's response when we are guilty of the biggest mistake of our lives? What does God say when we run away, ashamed, scared, thinking there is no way out? And as I read this story this week, I can't help but think of another story in the Bible where a man made the biggest mistake of his life. The first man. The first man had only one prohibition, one thing he was not allowed to do. God had given Adam a paradise to live in, fruit trees to eat from, a flourishing garden that some scholars believe was over 200 times the size of the Netherlands. That's how big that paradise was. He had everything his heart could desire, every delicious flavor that God had created for him. There was only one tree he was not allowed to eat from. One tree to allow Adam to choose whether he would let God be God or whether he would try to be like God and equal to him. And what did Adam do? We probably all know he ate from that one tree. And at the end of the day, all of the internal conflicts and external circumstances don't matter. It's human nature to make bad decisions. And just as Adam was guilty and Moses was guilty and I have been guilty, we will all blow it sooner or later. And just like Moses, Adam realized what he had done and he hid. We read in Genesis 3 about him and his wife Eve. Starting in verse 7, we can read together on the screen. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." The human condition. What do we do when we do something wrong? We cover it up. We become afraid and we hide. But what does God do? He comes looking for us. He is so faithful that when we blow it, he calls out to us. And later on, we read in verse 21 that the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them. God knew that the leaves would never last, so God made them garments of skin. But even the garments of skin were temporary. There would only be one way to cover up the biggest mistake of their lives, only one way to make things right again. You see, just like with Moses, God was not finished yet with the human race. Those garments of skin pointed to the day when God himself, in the flesh of Jesus Christ, would be sacrificed to cover over our mistakes and to cover our shame. You see, only He can take away our fear. Only He can take away our shame. Only He can fix it when we blow it. So when you look at 2019, what do you see? Is there something you've done that you have hidden? God is calling out to you, and God is saying to you, stop hiding. God is coming to you to cover you with His grace and to say to you, it's not over. You may be running away from your destiny or running away from your mistakes. You may be running away from people who have never accepted you. But God is standing here with open arms, and He is even coming after you. The Bible says that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He is not here to condemn you. He's not here to pronounce judgment. He is here to cover you with an everlasting covering. He's here to set you upright and lead you into your destiny. Moses sat down by a well, but God came to stand him back up again. You see, this was not the end of the story. God was not finished with him yet. God raised up Moses, a murderer, to become the leader of a nation, to do miracles, and to bring his people to the threshold of their destiny. And God has a destiny for you. God has a future for you. God has a plan for your life. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." There is no mistake in your life that can keep you from the destiny that God has for you. And God is saying to you today, come out of hiding. Dare to walk in the destiny that I have for you. Also, if you don't know Jesus, today is your day. Today is the day that you can be free of shame, free of guilt, free of rejection. And maybe you've never fit in. Maybe you don't even feel like you fit into your own family. Maybe you had the title son of, but it never really fit. God is saying to you today, I have a new family for you. I have a new name. You are my son. You are my daughter. And this is where you belong. Jesus is not here to judge you for your past. He's here to give you a future. He said himself, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And if you've been running and you're in need of a fresh start today, if you feel like your world is over because of something you've done or something that has been done to you, all you need to do today is say to him, I surrender. I surrender everything, everything I am, everything I have, everything I've done to you. And I want to ask everyone in this place, if you don't mind, I'd like you to shut your eyes right now for a moment. If everyone just close their eyes, we're going to take a moment. And I'm going to ask you to look at your heart and look at your life and look at this past year. And ask yourself, do I need a fresh start? It's 2020. It's time. It's time for a fresh start. And if you need someone to help you make that fresh start, God is the only one who can really help you. And if you are one of those people with something to surrender, whether it's the first time or whether you've done it before, but it's time for a fresh surrender, I want to ask you to lift your hand in the air as a sign to God that you're inviting him in, that you're inviting him to come and help you make that fresh start. Thank you. I see your hands. I see your hands. I see your hands. Thank you. I see your hands. God sees your hands. I didn't plan this, but one thing about the story of Moses, he fled to a country called Midian. And Midian, the word Midian is a place of judgment. It's the name means judge. And I think Moses, he actually condemned himself. He fled to Midian, a place of judgment. He went to a place to be judged. And I think that there might be people in this room today, and I'm going to ask you in a minute to raise your hand if you're willing. If you've been condemning yourself, maybe you've done something or you have a lifestyle, and I believe that the Holy Spirit is touching people's hearts right now, that you've been condemning yourself and you're not willing to go to God because you have been judging yourself. You go to that place where of judgment. You think you need to be judged. But even in that place, in that country where Moses went to be judged, that's the place where God appeared to him. That's the place where God showed himself. And so if you've been judging yourself and maybe you've been condemning yourself and maybe you've been saying, what I've done, that can never be forgiven. How I'm living, that's not, that God doesn't want me. Maybe you've been rejecting yourself. But God is here to say, I do want you. I do want you. I want your life. I love you. I am your father. I want to be your father. Let me be your father. And so if you're here today and you've been in that place of judgment, or that's where the place you keep going back to, where you just go and sit down and you bring it over yourself, you think guilt, shame, condemnation, God wants to lift you up today. So if we could all just shut our eyes one last time so nobody's embarrassed, I want to ask if anybody can relate to that. And if you want to come and sit next to the well today, I see your hands, thank you. If you want to come and sit next to the well today, God has a well of refreshing for you. God has a well of living life for you, of living waters. So I also want to invite you, maybe you've not been running from anything, but you have been running and you've been running hard. Maybe you're exhausted. You've been running so hard, going so hard in life, going after the things you think you want. But it's all too much. It's all too difficult and you need rest. Just like Moses sat down at that well, God has a place for you at the well. Jesus has living water, waters of life for you. And he said, whoever drinks the waters I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. So if you are tired and you are thirsty and you need to sit down and you need to rest at the well, I want to invite you again to lift your hands with me. Lift your hands one more time. Jesus has a well of refreshing for you. Jesus is going to come and bring refreshing to your life. So I want to ask everyone in this room, if you don't mind, to pray this prayer with me. I'll lead and you can just repeat after me so you don't even have to think of the words yourself. And we'll pray together as a congregation. Dear Jesus, we confess that we need you. We confess that we are not able to do it on our own. Sooner or later, we are going to blow it. And we need you to cover us with your perfection. We surrender to you today. We die to ourselves and ask you to give us the identity and the destiny that you have for us. We die to ourselves and we ask you to give us the destiny you have for us. Bring refreshing today. And we come to ask you and to ask for your living water, that it would spring up in our lives. Amen. Amen. And if you've surrendered your life for the first time today, or your need of a fresh start, Or if there is any other reason that you might need prayer, if you'd like someone to pray with you, we have a team in the back who is more than happy to pray for you. Please don't let anything stand in your way of receiving prayer today. Don't be ashamed. We are all in the same boat. Seriously, I raised my hand. Almost everybody in the room raised their hand for something that we need to get from Jesus today. So don't be ashamed and feel free to get some prayer. Behind the bar is where the prayer team will be ministering. Thank you.
Dan gaan we verder met het aanbidden van God. Zullen we daarbij gaan staan?
Failures fill my
All we are is yours. All we have, everything we've done, we surrender it all to you today. We thank you, God, that you give us a fresh start. And in 2020, for everybody who needs it, we have a fresh start in you today. Thank you, Lord God, that your hand is on this year. You have not forgotten us. This is not the end. It is not over. It is just the beginning. Thank you for the testimony of Moses, the testimony that you keep going with your people. You don't give up on us when we make the biggest mistakes of our lives. You help us get up again. Thank you, Lord, that for everybody who needs it, including myself, we can get up and stand up with you again this year. Amen. Thank you guys for listening to today's sermon, for worshiping with us. I so enjoyed the worship. Thank you guys for serving us. And we're going to do what the Dutch call the zegen. So if you put out your hands, I'm going to just pray for God's blessing on you this week. May the love of the Father that calls you into your destiny and the covering of Jesus for every mistake you have made and will make, and the infilling of the Holy Spirit that springs up with living water be with you this week. Amen. Thank you, guys. I've had a wonderful day. I hope you too. But it's not over. We're all going to drink coffee like real good Dutch people. So please join us at the bar for coffee. And there is tea and juice and water if you're not a coffee drinker. But please join us. And if you're here for the first time, please engage in conversation. And everybody who's been here, you're part of our group here. Please talk to somebody you've never seen before so that nobody gets forgotten. Thank you. Bye-bye.